Good morning. I was wondering if people could move closer so that we can hear each other a little better. What do you think? Like, you actually over there could bring your chairs around more closely. And you could bring your chairs around more closely. And the second row could come closer with their chairs. We can rearrange the whole room. Okay, great. Great. Okay, wonderful. Very good. Yeah. Okay, good. Okay. Yes. You're translating. That's why you're in back. That's sweet of you to tell me that. Thank you. Okay, great. I'm very content with you there. Okay, so. Wonderful. And if people want to move closer, I guess this is better, so. Okay, good. So, did anybody do their affirmation homework? Did they try their affirmations? Great. Wonderful. What did you experience? It put your mind in such a frame that you can't go anywhere. Wonderful. You look very happy, so that must be a good thing. Okay, great. Anyone else? You feel more free. Okay, you felt free, more yourself, and I'm such a nice person. Okay, fabulous. Fabulous. Maybe a handheld. Anyone else? And you wanted. Okay, so you tried it at Amrit Vela with the different affirmations you made and felt very happy. Fabulous. Okay, good. Wonderful.
Today Amrit Vela was really good. It was very powerful. At the same time, I felt this lesson will be helpful to me in life, all part of in my life. Can improve my positiveness. So wherever I go in negative, then I can put affirmation and put into the right track.
Yes, it's very true.
Wherever the things I go wrong, so I can put in a positive thoughts and put it in a right track.
Yes.
And bring it in a more effective manner.
Great. We'll look at how to deal with negativity a little bit today.
What I experienced was that my meditation was better. And also, the parent was listening.
Oh, very good.
Giving those solutions. And the solution was coming from the inner child.
Okay, fabulous. So your critical parent was off, and your nurturing parent was listening, and the inner child was giving some good solutions.
Yeah.
Fabulous. Did anybody else have, were you able to make progress making your critical parent shut off and go into your nurturing parent? Was anybody able to experiment with that with success? Yes? Yes? Okay. Okay, good. Would anyone like to share? Good morning.
Oh, I don't feel like, I don't feel that I want to go back home. You don't? No, it's so beautiful here, so peaceful. Is it? Yes, the family here is so nice, and I feel so protected. You do? Yes, there is hardly any Maya. I'm having such a wonderful time. Baba is so loving, and the family is always smiling. I don't want to go back to the Iron Age. I'm afraid. Are you? Here, I don't have to cook, no washing dishes, no cleaning the house. Just white-dressed souls wishing you Om Shanti. There is no time. There is a lot of time for meditation, lectures, and retreats. But they need me in the center. The voice. Yes, I can understand. But they need me in the center at home. We have a project for the blind that I have to help. And we are organizing something big in Haifa, and Sharona will have to come and give a lecture. I have to invite all my Lokic friends. I have to do service and give the knowledge to others. Baba needs me there. I have to go back. And I also miss my grandchildren.
And how does the inner child feel at the end of that conversation? Okay. All right. But you acknowledge part of you wants to stay here and part of you feels the duty calling. Okay. Great. So, a settling effect?
I'm working on it.
Okay, so it's being settled, yeah. Continue to listen to the child and say, I understand that you want to stay. Of course you want to stay. But then, you know, at the end, your wise self can say, and you get to come back. Yeah, you're at the cloud getting full, and you get to come back next year. Okay, beautiful, thank you. Did anybody else do a dialogue or just listen to more to your child? Did you just experiment listening? Yes? Okay. Does anybody want to share anything before we go on? There's one too. Okay. Pila? Uh-huh. I'm sorry. Oh.
I just wanted to share this morning there was a feeling and it was helpful to have this separation, you know, between one voice and another voice, because the thoughts came in this morning, it was quite a lot of thoughts of jealousy after morning class and things, you know, others are up front and this and that and the other, and it was nice to just watch those thoughts.
Beautiful.
And not get too caught up in it.
Okay, great.
And then to say to myself, but you're loved by Baba, it doesn't matter.
Okay, you could identify, this is my inner child being jealous, and you could just not feel all of you was involved in that, but just that part of you, so you could observe it. And then you were able to reassure with the wise self that Baba loves you.
Yeah, in a way, I didn't use those words. Those words weren't really coming, but the feeling was that it was okay, and it was more of a feeling of it didn't matter that those feelings were coming, and it was okay that those thoughts were coming.
Wonderful that you were able to accept them and not be judgmental. Yeah. Congratulations.
I'm not trying to be facetious, but I wasn't feeling very well when I arrived in Abu. It's been going on for 6 months. Anyway, the doctors in Abu had given me some medication. So I took it at 3 p.m. yesterday, and I woke up at 3 a.m. this morning. So my inner child and I slept very well for the first time in a long time. Thank you, Om Shanti.
So yesterday before I go to sleep, so I thought tomorrow I wake up at sharp time. So I know that I feel very tired. I got some pressure, using pressure tablet also. I told anyhow I'm going to wake up. Yes. And the second thought came, now you are truly Baba, old land, Baba's hand, he will do everything. Then I spoke to Baba, everything yours, that tomorrow in your hand, we have to do the sharp, at sharp 3:30 I got up. After I wake up, I put some positiveness in my mind. What are the negative things, everything's coming in Madhubana passing your life? It's making you very strong. So, listen, please observe as a detached observer and learn each and every situation what we can put in practical in life and become more strong.
That was a nice interpretation. I know that Pilar wanted to share something too.
Huh? Sister Diane, what I wanted to know is you have the inner child and the core self. Mm-hmm. And then when Baba is involved in that, there's threesome. So what happens in that case? The inner child, you, and Baba.
You know, Baba you can bring in many different ways. We'll be doing a meditation tomorrow where we actually take the inner child and we bring the inner child up to the subtle regions to be with your core self and Bhavdhara. But yes, bringing Bhava into the mix is very important. But we'll play with that tomorrow.
Om Shanti. So it was a wonderful experience because all these years I was watching my thoughts even before Gyan, and I didn't understand what's happening. So it's the first time, you know, because of an expert, you know, someone, you know, said that, oh, this is inner child, and there is also the other voice, you know, the two voices are sometimes struggling. And so how we made this system, would we also discuss about that later in our program, that how it happened, you know, that amazing play was there, and we did it actually.
Do you mean how the inner child develops?
Yeah, how inner child was created,
mm-hmm.
and how the wise voice
mm-hmm.
has been created, you know, and then mm-hmm. duality, two systems work
mm-hmm.
together
mm-hmm.
all these years, maybe mm-hmm. birth after birth,
mm-hmm.
and that's the journey now.
Yes, if I can just, I'll just answer the question now. But it's the very same thing, you know, Baba explains it when he talks about how we lose energy, spiritual energy, and we come into copper age, and we develop first attachment, and then we develop ego, because we're no longer automatically happy and automatically peaceful because our spiritual energy is less. So it's simply some of our negative sanskaras. For example, when I get attached to something, we develop our negativity out of innocence because we just want to be loved. Love is a human need. When children are not loved, when they're infants, they will die after 4 months, failure to thrive. We need love as human beings. So the creation of the inner child is just the parts of you that you try to shut off because they're embarrassing to you. So if we develop our attachment in our ego, we're trying to feel better about ourselves. So we think, oh, if I'm like this person, I'll be like that. But as soon as we develop arrogance, then I start treating people like I'm better than them. When I start having the karma of treating people that I'm better than them, then I'm on my way, you know, in order to try to get more love, you know, like in order to try to reassure my self-esteem that I'm good, I'm as good as they are, because I'm not feeling it's okay. So I'm as good as they are. I am this, or I own this, or I have this. But as soon as we start to give sorrow to others by treating them as less than, then we have the karmic return. So when the karmic return comes, then I feel unworthy. I feel sad. I feel upset. And then I can develop sanskaras in my interaction. For example, I can become whiny, because when I'm whiny with my mother, she gives me pets. Whiny. I don't woo. That's whiny. Okay. Sorry, Trish was asking for a translation. If we want love, why do we start negative? Okay, let's take lust, okay? We have attachment, we have ego, and then we have lust. Lust is the third vice to develop, not the last one, okay? So in lust, what happens is I want the attention of someone, okay? Lust is the first time I have desire. I want that person's attention. Well, in golden and silver age, I love everybody. you are beautiful, and 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 you are beautiful. And every one of you, it's like Baba says, each one of you is as beautiful as the next. That's how golden age. Each one of you is as beautiful as the next. That's golden and silver age. So with lust, I decide I want the attention of that one, okay? And what happens is I then will automatically love all the rest of you a little less. So it's not that I'm deliberately, I want the love. And so it's not that I'm deliberately giving sorrow. It's just I'm focused on my need. But see, I've never had a need before. I've never had a desire before. In golden and silver age, we have no desires. We're completely full. So it's not that I'm trying to give sorrow. It's a consequence of low spiritual power, and I develop a desire for love, and then I accidentally give less love. Okay? But what happens is, what's going to happen is that about that same time, somebody is going to give me less love because they have the desire for that person. So then I'm going to feel bad. And then eventually the arrogance gets going and I think they're really loved and they're loved more than me and it's because they have this. So I'm going to get that too. And then in time, and it takes a long time to do this, but we actually think, I am better than them because I have this. I am better than them because my father does this, because I live in this kind of house, because I own this, because I went to college here. So then it becomes more pronounced. But nowadays in Iron Age, it's very common. People don't even think about it. They automatically feel better than many people. And they're completely unaware what sorrow it gives. They don't know how to treat each one as you are as beautiful as the next. And that is what Baba's teaching us. One time, the first time I heard that sentence, each one of you is beautiful as the next, was from Bhattada himself. And I was in Madhaban and we were having a Murali in the meditation hall in Pandit Bhavan. It was before Om Shanti Bhavan was built. And there was, Baba asked a question. And there was this beautiful Brazilian sister. And she raised her hand and Baba, indicated for her to answer. And she gave an answer. And Baba looked at her and he said, "You are so clever." And all of us went, "Oh, I wish Baba had said that to me." And you could just feel it, the wave. I wish Baba had said that to me. You know, you could just feel it go throughout the hall. And so Baba, she was sitting there. And so Baba just sort of looked at all of us, you know. And then he nodded and he said, "Each one of you is as beautiful as the next." And we all went, okay, so we develop our innocence accidentally in the need and in the desire for love, you know, because we are, you know, this whole thing about becoming a deity is to learn to be so full that I automatically give. And this is why in this course, we really emphasize to people that meditation is so essential because it's meditation that's recharging the soul and giving us that energy. Okay. Did that develop? Okay. And so these sanskaras that we don't like, this like the whininess or the jealousy, you know, certain sanskaras we may feel embarrassed by, that we know powerful people don't whine, so I shouldn't whine. I worked as a school psychologist for 23 years. I could handle, gang parents, I could handle violence, I could handle kidnappings, I could handle all kinds of crazy things. But there was one person in this one school that could drive me nuts that I could not handle. And all she had to do was she could come into my office, this little tiny lady. I could handle these huge gang parents, right? No problem. But this little tiny thin lady, all she had to do was she had to come into my office and she could just say, "Oh, Diane, could I talk to you for just a moment?" I was gone. I mean, I couldn't take it. It was horrible. Why couldn't I take it? Because I was afraid of that part of me. I did not like my whiny self. And I was very embarrassed that I would ever show my whiny self to someone else. Because they would certainly reject me. They weren't going to love me if they saw that part. So that's how it develops, Pilar, if that answers your question. And so this critical self, you can, you know, as we start our critical process, we adopt that. And then we'll deal with that just now because we're going to be looking at that. Okay, so shall I go on with the session then? Okay, great. So yesterday we looked at some of these things. We looked at lovingly accepting the self and the importance of observing and naming your emotions, but not rejecting the self, but lovingly accepting not just the positive, but the negative emotions. Because then we can observe them, name them, and not repress them. And then we can actually listen, see what's happening, and then we can actually do something about it. So we talked about the inner child, and the critical parent, and nurturing the child. And now we're just going to look at negative self-talk, okay? So there's different kinds of negative self-talk. There's demanding self-talk. And this was the third thing in the second session. That and so this can be a little bit about how we develop our negativity. But in order to have good self-esteem or good self-respect, it's important to turn off the critical self, whether it's the critical parent or the critical commentator. And because the negative self-talk is one of the main factors that keeps self-esteem low. So demanding self-talk could be things like, I must be perfect, I must always have everything in order, everything always has to look gorgeous. And you can tell if this is your critical parent by the tone of the voice. Like, what is the tone of voice that you're speaking to yourself in? Do you ever speak to yourself in a negative tone of voice? Anybody? Okay. Well, you might want to tell that voice the next time it appears. You might want to tell it, I don't want you to talk to me in that tone of voice anymore. I want you to talk to me sweetly, like Baba would talk to me, or but tell your tone of voice, I don't want you to use that tone of voice with me anymore. But I want you to think about this negative self-talk, because this is something that you absolutely can change quickly. Okay? So there's the demanding self-talk, there's critical self-talk, and that could be something like, I shouldn't be feeling this way, that was a stupid way to act, you're never going to get anywhere if you keep doing this. Things like this, okay? And then negative labels are when you call yourself a name. You know, a global negative label. So this is when you could say, you're stupid. You're whatever you call yourself, okay? So, just observe the words that you use to yourself. How many of you had your parents talk to you about your positive qualities, and they'd say to you, oh, you're so smart, you're so sweet, you're so... How many of you had parents that gave you positive labels? Okay, great. Wonderful. And if someone contradicted that positive label, you wouldn't believe them, would you? Because you know your parents said that you were that, so you know you are that, right? Okay. Now, how many of you had your parents that give you negative labels? Oops, there was a lot more of those. Okay. So the negative labels, you also remember, and they take years to get rid of. Okay. And so watch what the language is. Watch the disempowering words. And also watch the labels. Because never label yourself negatively. Negative labels could never be always true, could they? So find evidence that they aren't true. There's a little, in your worksheets, there is a little form, and it says finding evidence that I'm okay. So if you're tempted to use a label, contradict it. For example, I don't matter. Absolutely not true. So contradict it. I have significance. Baba has chosen me. I am a loving child that radiates peace to the world. The peace that I radiate is important to the well-being of the world. Contradict it, but observe it, notice that you're doing it, and then provide some positive input. Does that make sense? Okay. This is a very simple part. I'm going to go through this quickly because I want to get to another part. But you're always changing, and we're very complex, and we can change in any direction we wish. You were all different 5 years ago, 10 years ago, 20 years ago. And so you can absolutely, we change. And as Brahmins, we're very lucky because we know the process of change. And we can change in the direction we wish. There's an experiment that if you want to try, you may. Every time you use a negative label with yourself, if you have a piggy bank or a jar, you can put some money into it every time you are critical to yourself or call yourself a bad name. Okay? So, 50 rupees. Or a dollar, or 50 pence. What is it in Vietnam, Trish? Nong. Dong. How many dongs? Okay. So put in 10,000 dongs in the jar. It's going to take you a long time to count. Okay. But the idea is to increase your attention. And then once you don't put anything in the jar for 4 days because you haven't said anything negative to yourself, then you can take that money out and buy yourself something very special that you've been wanting for a long time. Okay, so, Trish, how do I get to the other one? Oh, good, you have it up. So now we're to our third session. Were there any questions about the negative labels or anything before we start with the elephant, the Maharatis and the ants? Yes.
You know that I don't really have a thought, but somehow based on the feeling I sense that something is going in the subconscious mind which is negative.
Yes.
And so this is like a deeper thing. What can we do about this? Because I don't catch myself saying something.
Yes, well, as we know, it's your intellect that is the vehicle for transformation, right? So when you have that feeling that's automatic, you're just having the sanskara triggered. And that samskara is obviously very powerful. So then observe it and see what that samskara is saying. So observe it, detach a little bit, observe it, and then listen to it. And then use your wise core self to begin to dispute it. Like you may want to use the evidence that this is not true sheet and begin to look at your positive qualities. But you're going to have to really develop your nurturing parent a bit and allow that wise self to have a voice. We're going to go into that in this session, so let's we'll do that. But in this session, we'll look at the you are the elephants, you are the Maharatis, and the ants are your automatic negative thoughts, okay? And it's the ant that can drive the elephant crazy. So we all have automatic negative thoughts, and what we're going to do in this session is look at how to try to get rid of some of these. So, in this session, we're actually going to start with the, do you want to start with the ants, or do you want to do the, do you want to do a little bit of the inner child that we did yesterday with the key karmic question? Shall I just, I'll just do it in the regular order. Okay. So we're going to get to the Maharatis and the ants in a few minutes. And we'll start with the inner child dialogue from yesterday. Okay. Yesterday we talked, yes.
Yeah. There was a point raised that why is it that if we look for love, our negative samskaras come out. And I liked your sharing about, you know, you can handle anything, but this whining child just really blew you off. And doesn't it happen that we learn such negative...
It was a whiny samskara of an... woman.
Yeah, but
whiny children are fine.
Oh.
It was an adult woman.
Okay. Then.
You know.
Uh-huh.
I don't mind whiny children. Children can do anything and I love
right.
them. It was an adult.
Okay. But you couldn't handle.
Oh, yeah.
All right.
Well, I did handle it. It's just that I didn't want to handle it.
Yes. My question is, do children learn to whine because, or even as adults, we continue whining because as a kid, we received love by whining, or does it happen that we stopped whining even if we were whining as children because we were rejected by it? I just wanted to catch that point that you were saying.
I think that, you know, many children, when they have certain behaviors, they can be reinforced by their parent.
That's right.
Even accidentally.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so then it becomes something that they repeat, and if
That's
they
right.
repeat it, and it's reinforced again, then they can develop it into a samskara.
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
And then, of course, they can take that samskara with them to another birth.
I see. So when you're saying that this whining woman, is it also possible that you react not by not taking it, but it's like your heart melts when, you know, like an elderly woman whines because you have that part of you.
No, my heart wasn't melting.
Uh-huh.
My heart was, get out of the office.
All right. Yeah.
Get and, away from me.
All right. And if it's the opposite, like you are drawn to that, what does that mean? If you're like...
If you're drawn to it?
Drawn meaning you succumb to the whining, meaning you pamper that whining of a...
Well, you know, this is why I think it's so important to lovingly accept all of you.
Okay.
You know, because I think that when you learn to embrace all of your samskaras and not be afraid of them anymore, that then when people have these samskaras and you encounter them, you have a lot more compassion of them. So lovingly accepting yourself allows you to understand yourself. And then it also allows you to grow beyond that. So I think that then when the whiny person comes up, like whiny persons now don't annoy me anymore. Now I can be very stable and compassionate and not want to run away. But I think we, But also, you know, when I'm whiny to myself, I listen now and I use my nurturing parent and I see what the whiny part wants. And I'll do a whine for you in our next, I'll do a whine for you in just a second. Okay. Who would like to come up Trish, do you want to be the volunteer? Okay. And I'll be the whiner. She was mean.
Yeah, you think she was really mean?
Yeah, I feel sad.
So you're really sad?
Yeah, I'm really upset. I'm sad. She never includes me.
So you feel that she doesn't make you a part of things?
Mm, yeah.
Okay. So you're upset?
Yeah.
Okay. Everyone likes to be included.
Yeah. Mm?
What could she have done?
She could have included me.
How about I always include you?
I'd like that.
How about we could do what she should do? And I will always include you, and we'll always include everyone.
Okay.
So we're the ones that include everyone.
We're the ones that include everyone.
Okay, great.
Okay. So, I'm going to do the same dialogue now with the two fingers, okay? Okay? So, she was mean. This is the inner child. You think she was really mean. She's listening, right? The core parent. Yeah, I feel sad. You're feeling really sad. Yeah, I'm upset. She never includes me. You feel sad when she doesn't include you. Isn't she doing a good job listening? Did you notice she's really listening, right? She's just reflecting. She's not giving in any advice. But now the key karmic question. In order to change the child from being a victim to being empowered. Key karmic question. What should she have done? She should have included me. The inner child always knows the answer. Core self, how about I include you? I'd like that. How about we do what she should do? I'll always include you, and we will always include everyone. Core self, we are the ones who include everyone. Yes, we're the ones that include everyone. I'm the one that includes everyone. Do you notice how she became from a victim to being empowered? Okay, now your core self is a key protector of your inner child. Your inner child may feel sensitive about things. Like, let's say you're in a situation where you feel threatened. Your inner child will let you know, I'm scared. So your wise self can say, I'll protect you. What do you need to do? Okay, if she gets really mad, we'll move away. Okay? So your wise self is also a protector. But when you say, we'll include everyone, okay? Then the inner child can learn, we're the ones that include everyone. I'm the one that includes everyone. What's fascinating about this is if you have this dialogue when you are rejected, by the third rejection, by the fourth rejection, you can actually say to yourself, I am the one that includes everyone, and that sanskara is gone. It works. Does this make sense? Is it ego? I am the one that includes everyone. Pardon me?
I mean, if I say to myself, at some point, I'm the one that includes everyone. After all these experiences, I will think I'm the only one who really does that. Everyone else should do it, but I'm the only one who can do it. no one is doing it.
Okay, then you're using your arrogance. But if you think to yourself in a loving way, I'm the one that includes everyone, and you're doing it because you really see everyone's value, then it wouldn't be arrogance. You know, I think this is Brahmin culture, to respect the self and to respect everyone. This is the key thing for Golden Age, isn't it? We really have to learn, like, does Baba love only 99% of the people in the room? Or does he love all of us? He loves 100%, doesn't he? So isn't that what we have to do? That's not arrogance. That's just being loving. It depends on the tone of voice. If you think, I'm the only one that includes everyone, you know, the rest of you just don't do it as well as I do, then it's arrogance. But
yeah, I understand. You can, if it happens over and over again, you say they're all doing it. It's happening again and again, and yeah.
Okay, I would, if you don't mind me saying, I would suggest we're going to do an exercise tomorrow about healing God's love. I would suggest that the inner child would be still carrying some hurt from that, and so we need to heal that hurt. Okay. And then it'll disappear and it'll transform. Yeah?
And I didn't like that. Even though I would get compliments, but I feel I was the one that has to come with the ID, start doing the things. So I was feeling a bit sad.
Yeah. So you were feeling the sad because you were always initiating things.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, you know, it takes a lot of love to be a Brahmin and to always be the one that's leading sometimes. But this is where we have to learn how to really take care of ourselves, don't we? So, you know, listen to yourself when you don't feel well. Like this morning, I went to class, and I checked with my body, because my body's, you know, my body has a serious heart problem, and my body was saying, I don't feel good. And I said, okay, I'm going to listen. So I took the body back to bed. I went to early class, put my purse down on my seat, and 10 minutes later, I came in, I picked up my purse, and I went back to bed. You saw me, probably all of you saw me. Yeah. Where's Diane going? Yeah, I got a lot of looks. You know, it was the fish swimming upstream. But I thought, you know, I need to take care of this body. You know, if you don't take care of your body will eventually revolt. And how many of us respect our body?
I do.
You know, my body revolted because I didn't take care of it for a long time. So I spent, then I had to spend 2.5 years in bed. You know, so, you know, be careful. Listen. Yeah. It's not body consciousness to listen. Sometimes you can push the limits with your body, but you can't push them all the time. Okay. So karmic principle. Do you understand the karmic principle? Does somebody else want to do a karmic principle? I would like you to do a dialogue. Everybody get out your paper and pencil. And I want you to do the karmic principle. You have the handout in your thing. And basically take something that you maybe feel a little bit isn't the way you want that somebody does. And then you ask the karmic question. This is about when you're in an interaction. What should they have done? And then I want you to practice just joining with your inner child and being the one that does it together. Okay? So I'm going to give you 5 minutes to do that. The karmic question. The karmic question is your inner child is upset about something that another person did. And the karmic, you first listen to the inner child. And then you say, what should he have done? Or what should she have done? and then see what the inner child says. All right? You can do this in written form. Not with the fingers. You can do it with the fingers if you like, but I want you to do it with written form. So create a dialogue with the inner child. Include the key karmic question, what should they have done? Choose a situation where you were just a little upset, not very upset, because we don't have all afternoon to see you. Use long handwriting, not printing. Just like before, the inner child to the left side of the paper and the core self on the right side of the paper when you're writing it down. And your inner child starts the conversation. Writing, not printing. If you've forgotten how to write longhand, then just write out however you write out. Don't worry about it. Yes, I'll give you the handout from yesterday. Thank you for asking, Wendy. So what should she have done, or he should have done? So then the child gives the answer, and the core self says, how about I always do that with you? Okay, so has everybody finished? I'm getting lots of questions down front. Does anybody else want to have a question? Was anybody able to pair the core self with the inner child so the inner child didn't feel like a victim anymore? Yes? Fabulous. It worked. Wonderful. Wonderful. Yes. Talk in the mic. Trish, do you want to do the mic? Or I forgot your name.
Manoj.
I knew it was a Okay.
When I start the dialogue with the inner child, you already experience at the start is very painful. I mean, it will be painful. You will feel that. And will get the resistance. Usually, you know the voice there, but you will ignore it, reject to listen. So at that time, whether we should stop and give more love and more space, and then to not push, right, just to take time to start, continue like this.
Lovely. So I'm hearing you say that your inner child needed some space and some comfort and some time.
Usually I feel my ego or my inner child very strong. The dialogue cannot continue. Sometimes if you continue the dialogue, like push, it will be more strong and more resistance, I mean. So at that time, should I stop, then give more space to continue next time to...
Yes, I think that this is... Sorry, I'm finding this distracting. It's all right. I would definitely relax and be where your inner child. It sounds like you're really able to listen to your inner child. And that's wonderful.
Yeah, I said this, but really I start very, very painful, I would say.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And so what we'll be doing tomorrow, we'll be doing two exercises to deal with the pain of the inner child. Okay, so we'll be doing that tomorrow.
Thank you.
But yes, if you're meeting resistance, you don't want to meet resistance, because if you meet resistance, then the inner child will feel like, you know, they're going to either tantrum again, or they're going to feel that they're being put down again, and so you're going to create a block again and try to suppress, and you don't want to do that. You want to create a sacred space for that child where it can be heard. Because when it's heard, the child will begin to grow up after a while, and it will have a lot of strength and a lot of wisdom to offer. So you need to hear it. It knows something that you need to know. Okay?
Thank you.
Okay. Thank you. Any other questions? All right, great.
In a
Western family has wealthy situation. Wealthy situation, what do you mean? They have all facilities, TV, mobile, etc. Why do you think so? Their father doing very good job. You work hard and earn some more. Talk to Baba during Amritvela. Yeah, of course, things better. How about the situation change? The Almighty Unlimited Father gives you happy life, and today Murali also insists that unlimited detachment may give you unlimited happiness. Is it okay?
Is it okay for you?
No.
I wasn't sure where the inner child was. Did your inner child get to talk? Did you listen to your inner child?
Any child means?
Okay. The inner child.
Inner child.
Has something to say that usually you don't like. So, you know, whether it's sensitive or hurt. So you want to
get... The situation I made to practice this dharma.
And so the situation is the children play their video games and their computers and phones? Yeah? Well, you gave whoever it was you were talking to, you gave very nice advice about Baba. That's for sure. So you did very wonderful, Gyan. Okay, great. Hi.
Hi. My question is I got to that, my wise inner self got to the conclusion, okay, how about I love myself more and everybody else too. But then the inner child says, but I don't know how. So are we not yet at that point, or?
Oh, that's really nice. Wasn't that nice? Okay, good. So you be the inner child and I'll be your wise self. So you're saying, I don't know how.
Yes.
So you don't know how to give love to yourself?
No.
Okay. Do you know what might help?
No.
Okay. Well, how about Baba and I just surround you with love? Would that be all right?
I don't know.
Okay. How about I put a really thick cloak of love around you, of love about 4 inches thick, and I cover you with love? Do you think if we could play with that for a minute?
Okay.
Okay. So can you imagine a 4-inch cloak of light of love around you?
Okay.
And you are in the middle of that cloak, and Baba, and Baba's made, you know, did you know that Baba really likes you?
I don't believe that.
Oh, that must really hurt your feelings.
Yes.
Baba does really love you.
Somehow I can't believe that.
Mm-hmm. That must be really hard.
Yes.
Yeah, I would imagine it is. But he really, really does. Sounds like someone's really hard on herself a lot.
Looks like.
Yeah. Maybe I could start telling you some of the things that you're beautiful, that you do beautifully. How about that?
Thank you.
Do you think we could work together to notice the beautiful things that you do?
Yes?
Okay, great. And maybe start believing, maybe we could start believing together that God loves us.
Okay.
Okay. All right. You know, it's very interesting in our... Well, that was very real, Hilda. Yes, I know it's real. The inner child is real. All our emotions are real. But, you know, in our Judeo-Christian religions, we don't believe that God loves us. We're taught that God is very conditional, and it's very deep, that feeling sometimes. And I know that I had hard... I was 1 year in Gion, and I decided that... I got really depressed for an entire month because I decided that I could fool the Brahmins, but I couldn't fool God, and He knew what I was really like. And I got so depressed for a month because I thought, you know, God can't possibly love me. So it's really interesting. And then I hit a wall when I was like 20 years in Gion where I really just didn't believe that God loved me about 20 years in Gion. And it was shocking to me. But I really didn't believe that God could possibly love me. So some of these things were taught for birth after birth, and there's this resistance. But, you know, and I thought, you know, I'm not going to make it unless I really just accept that God loves me. So I really started just saying, I have to believe that it's true. Otherwise, I believe God's, Baba is God, God's the ocean of truth. He says that He loves me, it must be true. And I just really had to work on accepting that. How many of you are over 20 years in Gion? Okay. One of the things that happens, this is not part of the course, but one of the things that happens is, you know, when you come into Gion, you learn how not to blame people anymore, right? And eventually you learn how not to be in denial anymore, right? Well, these things of blame and denial, there are psychological defenses that you have before Gion. And you get into Gion and you have to give up all these psychological defenses, okay? So meanwhile, you, the soul, have been experiencing being really elevated. But without these psychological defenses, after about, 15 to 20 years in Gion, have any of you that are older than 15, 20 years in Gion, have you ever experienced where you can be feeling really elevated and then you can just drop into a place of pain? If so, raise your hand. Okay. Okay. And this can happen when you're older in Gion. It doesn't happen so much when you're younger because you still have all your psychological defense mechanisms. You still blame other people. But when you get older, you stop blaming people. And so you don't have the mechanisms of denial anymore because you have developed this power of discernment and you know yourself more. So all of a sudden you're experiencing where you're here and then you drop to here and you're thinking, what's happening? Okay, that's what's happening. So that's where you really have to say, okay, is Baba God? He's the ocean of truth. He does love me and I'm just going to have to accept that. And then you really have to work on accepting that. Anyhow, that's how I got through it. Good luck. Okay. John.
What do you mean I have to work on it? Because that would mean we're at, I'm out of the seminar now. I'm back to my old life.
I have to work on it on my own, but I don't have the facilitator now. So I go home and maybe I just sit down and eat potato chips or something, but... I mean, you used that expression several times. You have to work on it. But does that mean we're on our own to work on it, and we're with Baba? So we have ourselves, and we have meditation. And
tomorrow we're going to do two exercises, and they're actually to deal with what I'm talking about. One is an exercise on taking the inner child into the subtle region. The other one is called a cloak of love, where you You know, because we all have sanskaras of pain, don't we? And we all have sanskaras of hurt. And the only effective thing I know to do with it is to heal it. I think Baba's power is the only energy that heals it completely and effectively. So we'll be practicing wrapping a cloak of love around you when you're in pain, so you feel the pain, and then you do this exercise where you allow that love to come in. And we'll talk about this tomorrow. Like, for example, I don't know how many of you have had someone die in your life that's really important. So, you know, you can walk around with pain, because we all carry our pain differently, don't we? Sometimes we carry it in our chest, sometimes in our stomach, sometimes in our throat. But wherever you carry your pain, you can be mourning something, and you can actually learn to take love and to wrap love around it so that you can be aware of the pain, but you're also completely aware of the love. And you can walk around and feel the love while you're feeling the pain. And then and you can do that, and it may take you 3 hours, but after a while there will only be love. And if you're mourning someone, it may take you several weeks of doing that every day. But it works. So, well, the workshop is to try to give you some tools.
So we really aren't on our own.
No, you're not on your own. You have the support of this family.
Yep.
And even more important than that, Baba really does love you. You know, and you have Baba's love. You have an incredible, Baba's amazing. So you're not on your own, no.
And we're combined with him.
Yes, and we're combined. And I think, you know, one of the things I think that this family is doing is that in the last few years, I think we're developing more understanding of these things, and we're learning how to be friends with each other so we can share at a deeper level with others when issues are occurring, and we can keep it confidential, you know, so that we don't talk about each other, but we support each other. And it's okay not to be okay. It's part of the process, you know? Like, you know, it's so nice to tell another Brahmin, gosh, I'm feeling really not okay this morning, or I'm really having difficulty with someone. You know, and it's so lovely when another BK can just listen, you know, and then they say something like, you know, but Baba really loves you, and you go, oh, okay, I'm ready now. So it does help. Okay. You'd like to read something that you wrote. Okay, great.
This occasion actually happened to me before Baba came. And I don't know why she got angry with me.
Mic closer, please. Closer to your mouth.
Okay. I don't know why she got angry with me. I just wanted her to show me how... show me some place. But she said, not today. After Baba comes, and she said it with so much anger. The wise me. Claudie, the drama is exact. Just think, what can you benefit from this occasion? She didn't want me to disturb her because she was occupied in meditation of Baba's coming. Claudie, have you prepared yourself to Baba's coming? No, I don't think, I didn't do that. From now on, I'm just going to be with Baba until he comes. Claude, you see, the drama is beneficial. Go ahead and be in meditation so that when Baba comes, you will be ready to receive him. Thank you, Baba.
How did you feel at the end of your dialogue?
I didn't feel that I was the victim.
You didn't feel like a victim any longer.
And I didn't feel angry with her. You know, I was, I just wanted to say thank you to her.
Okay, so you resolved your anger and you didn't feel like a victim.
Yes.
So congratulations.
Thank you. But, you know, it was after some lectures that we had, so I practiced it. So
okay. Okay, great. Wonderful. Okay, I was going to stop here, but go on to the next topic, but it's okay. Go ahead. Okay, great.
Hello. So I started yesterday without the critical, the karmic question, and there was no resolution. But today, with adding this piece, it seems to have worked. And so I just want to share that. So it goes like that. I really feel hurt and somewhat angry. You're hurt, I see, and you feel angry. What happened, dear?
The first part was good listening. Very good listening.
Yeah. I notice someone being false and untrue. They are pretending to be loving, but inside they don't really care. Someone didn't really love you or rejected you, I think. The child, no, they just are not true. I see, there are one thing inside and one thing outside. So, now the question that comes. So how should they really be like? They should be genuinely loving to others and not give artificial love. So the parent... So I and Baba, and maybe you, could we truly be loving to others? Truly? We could do it, right? Yes, I like it. We could be like that, and I want to be like that. Yes, we should inspire everyone to be true and genuine. Yes, we should.
And your smile would indicate that it worked. Okay, brother, I'm going to stop now. We are never going to get through any of the rest of this workshop if we continue on. So excuse me. We're going to miss this exercise. You all know how to detach. So practice detaching. You all got it? Okay, that saved 15 minutes. Okay, great. You guys did a wonderful job. You're really... I really hear that you're allowing your inner child to come up and that you're learning to listen, and I'm glad the key karmic question was useful to some of you. And you can try it again today if you like, this afternoon as part of your homework, and then we can discuss it again tomorrow. But for now, I'd like to go into this thing. And this thing is sort of an adaptation of what we call cognitive behavioral therapy in psychology. And it's interesting because what it says is that we often think that events create emotions. Like, I got fired, I was made redundant, so that made me feel bad. But actually, events don't cause emotions. There's an event, and then there's a filter that we supply, and then there's an emotion. So, can I repeat that? Mm-hmm. So, events don't cause emotions. We as people have a filter. So we filter something, or we interpret something. Like some people, when they are made redundant, they can feel that they're a failure because they think, oh, I lost my job, they don't value me, this is a disaster, what am I going to do? And they can feel terrible and hopeless and awful. And other people can lose their job and they can say, wow, I've really been wanting some time. Okay, so there's the filter. Redundant in British means that you lost your job. Suddenly. Okay. So has anybody ever had their boss look angry and you think you did something wrong? Anybody? Your boss looked angry and you thought you did something wrong. Okay. I remember that happened to me one day. I was new on the job and my boss looked angry and I thought, gosh, he didn't look angry yesterday, and he looks so angry this morning. Maybe I did something wrong, and I was a brand new school psychologist, and I wondered what I did. And it took me a while to realize he had bad days, and he was just grumpy in the morning. So my filter was off, okay? I thought, oh, so he's grumpy. If I say to myself, he's having a bad day, then I send him good wishes, or I continue on, but I don't feel badly. So our filters are very important. So it's the interpretation that causes the feeling, not the event. So some people have very automatic filters. And so what we're going to do for the rest of today is we're going to look at some of our filters and we're going to challenge them. Emotions. So one of the things that can happen is there's a feedback loop. So there's an event, and then we interpret it, we give a filter, and there's the emotion. And then we can react to the emotion. Okay. So let's say Kathy phoned her fiancé and said, hi, this is Kathy. And her fiancé said, yes, who's that? And so Kathy thinks, he's pretending not to know me. The wedding is off. All the invitations have gone out. What are people going to think? So now she's very upset and really getting more upset, and now she's reacting to that, right? What actually happened is her fiancé had dropped the phone and he didn't hear her say, hi, this is Kathy. So sometimes we can do that. Somebody looks at us wrong. We think we've done something wrong. So what is our filter? So we're going to look at our filters. Now, when we're children, we're what we call egocentric. So sometimes our filters are from when we are a child. An adult can recognize negativity and rationalize it out, but a child cannot. Let's say that two parents are getting a divorce, and let's say the mother and the father had separately gotten mad at the child for misbehaving because they were upset. So the child can think, I was bad. They're getting a divorce. It's my fault. So egocentric means that I cause everything that happens to me. Okay? So sometimes, as children, we can develop certain filters that we carry with us as adults. For example, you know, if you have a critical parent and your parent is critical, then when you grow up, you can think that everybody is looking at you critically. And that is your filter that you filter life through. Where if you are accustomed to everyone thinking you're wonderful, then you have another filter, where you just think everybody loves you all the time. Like I have a niece that's like that. She, you know, somebody says something nice to her and she goes, yes, what's not to love? What's not to love? You know, but anyhow, so this is what we learn in Raj Yoga, of course, and we look at, we have our conscious mind with our emotions and our thoughts, our feelings, and we also have our subconscious mind. The subconscious mind has a number of functions. It's a storage place for memories. It makes no judgments about what it's being asked to store. It stores good and bad. It stores it equally. The subconscious mind has the function of observing the world around it and matching the incoming experiences to the memory banks. So if it finds a match, the memory is passed up to the mind to think about. It can also be instructed to look for particular aspects. So this is why the interpretation filters tend to be self-sustaining. So you hold the particular view. Everyone's critical of me. No one likes me. So then you look to find events that support that. Or everybody loves me. I'm Baba's beautiful instrument. I give light to the world. You find things that support that. So, but we can give different instructions to the subconscious so that we're instructing the subconscious to look for new instructions, okay? Your intellect is the executive that makes judgments and decisions about ideas and what to do about things. So the place to break a habit, the place to break a filter is in the intellect. Right? Baba teaches us to use our intellect to create different thoughts. Baba gives us gyan to have a different perspective. So, with our intellect, we can detect the negative thought and stop it, or think about it all the time, or change it into a positive thought. So, what we're going to look at is how to use the intellect to change our filters. Okay? Om Shanti. Welcome back. So, we're going to, you are the Maharatis, the elephant riders, the elephants. And so we're going to play with, you know, as Baba teaches us to use our intellect. But just a comment about all these things that we're discussing. You know, even with the inner child, as you learn to listen and to protect your inner child. You know, it does take time. So be patient with yourself. Don't be critical. Be patient with yourself. So, in your notebook, you have a worksheet that is a worksheet about going beyond ants. Okay? And so there's a situation called an event. Okay. Do you want to hold it up? Somebody hold it up so they can see it. Okay, turn it the other way. Okay, good. Very good. So everybody have that? Page 7. Okay, so there's the events. So you'll see the event there and the emotion and false belief. So we're going to start with a false belief, okay? So, I'm going to name some false beliefs, and you can tell me whether they're whether you agree that they're false or whether you think there's a they're true. So here's a false belief. You ready? Everyone has to like me for me to be okay. True or false? Do you really think that's false? Good. Do we act like that? Or do we really, only if everybody loves me am I okay? Right? Okay. So the false belief. If someone disagrees with me, it means they do not like me. I know a person, and I was giving the workshop, and she says, oh, that's why I'm always unhappy at work. People disagree with me at work, and I think they don't like me. That's why every day at work is ruined. These false beliefs are very strong, okay? I am only good if everyone agrees with me. False belief, right? I am bad if I make a mistake. False belief. Only if I am busy all the time, very busy in service, am I good. Very good. You guys are doing great. I need to have a nice car for people to respect me. That was an easy one. Okay, now I want you to tell me some of your false beliefs. Okay, tell me some of your false beliefs. Mike?
Yes.
Yes. She's asking a question, things that we perceive that are false. Yes. What are some of your false beliefs? Anyone? Come on. Do you have any false beliefs? Everyone is what? Everyone is critical. Everyone is critical about me. Ooh, that's a false belief that can really cause you to be miserable, huh? That's a very good false belief for creating misery. Okay, how to make yourself unhappy. These are false beliefs, how to make yourself unhappy. John? If I'm happy, everybody will be happy. Eventually.
I'm thinking of on the spot. I'm in a group, and I'm feeling good about it, but three other people are grinding their teeth.
Okay, okay. And how do you feel about that?
It looks real to me.
Okay. Brother, he needs the mic.
For me, it's a good reminder that I may be really enthusiastic about something, but other people may not. And if I push my enthusiasm, maybe I'll oppress them by my own enthusiasm.
Okay.
So I should start by listening and let them have a say on how they feel at the moment. Even and we don't right away go into the so-called agenda.
Okay, great. So, wonderful, John. Thank you. That was a insightful comment. Okay, any other false beliefs? Okay, the false belief, she's saying to rephrase it.
To rephrase it as a false belief in the now is to say that if I'm happy, why shouldn't everyone happy? Why shouldn't we all be happy?
If I'm happy, everybody should be happy.
Yeah, it's a false belief, yeah.
Okay, great. Great. Okay. Any other false beliefs? If daddy gives Drishti and she looks over here, it means she doesn't like me. Is that a false belief? Because does daddy sometimes look over here? When she's giving Tully. Okay, so we have many false beliefs. Okay, good. So, now I want you to think of a situation that triggers negative emotions for you, okay? So I want you to think of a trigger, about a situation, an event, that triggers a negative emotion for you. So here's your sheet, and you have an event. You can think of an old one, or you can think of a new one. And I'm going to give you a couple of examples, because I think it'll be easier. An event. I can't get a job at my level. The ants. I'm not good enough. They don't want me. I will never get a job. I am a failure. What a failure to never have a job. Okay, your ants, your automatic negative thoughts can be very long. They can continue. You can think about them for years. Okay? So, your emotion, how would you feel if that was how you thought those things? Sad, you could angry, tantrum, or sadness, however you are. Okay. False belief, I need a job on my level to be okay. So your false belief, or it can be ego, or it can be attachment, okay, or a false image, an image that you have. But you have to, it's important to identify what your image is. Okay, does this make sense? So, and then what we're going to do next is we're going to reframe. Reframing is we always start with reality, and then we give ourselves spiritual knowledge. So reframing, reality, this is drama, so there's something to learn. Practical spirituality, I am okay even without a job. When I stay calm and content, I will do well in interviews. When I'm anxious and afraid and fearful and sad, I'm so depressed that I can hardly get ready for the interview. So when I stay calm and content, I will do well in interviews. I only need one job. Okay, this is reframing it. Okay? Then the break, a break is one sentence to stop the ants. So, whatever happens, I will be okay. I'm Baba's beloved child. I will stay content no matter what happens. Okay, you may need to reframe it. Okay, I'm going to give you another example. Then I'm going to ask one of you to volunteer to come up here. Okay, event. The traffic is very bad on the way to work. The cars are stopped on the freeway. I'm going to be late to my job. So my aunts, I'm going to be late for work. They will think I don't care about my job or them. This is such an important meeting. They're really going to be upset with me. They'll think that I don't care. Why didn't I get up earlier? They'll wonder why I didn't get up earlier so I could be on time. Yeah? Okay. Okay. So the automatic negative thoughts can be very long. Emotion? Anxious. Agitated. What's my attachment? What's my false belief? What's my ego? What? They only respect me. Good. They only respect me when I'm on time. Good. Any other attachments here? I'm very important. Well, that could be really true. Well, it could be true. You are very important to that meeting. But, well, for me, since this is my example in here, my false belief would be, I'm not okay if they're upset with me. That would be my attachment. I'm not okay if they're upset with me. So let's see what's in here. I want them to respect, admire, and love me. I don't want them to be upset with me. They will see me as less good when I am late. Okay? They will see me as less good when I am late. So this is my attachment. I want them to see as good. I'm letting my worth depend on their view of me. Okay? So reframing. Reframing, always start with reality. And then you're going to give yourself some practical spirituality. Reality. I can't do anything about the traffic. There's thousands of cars on the freeway. My car does not have the capacity to fly over them. There is nothing I can do about the traffic. There's been an accident on the freeway. Okay. I will be late. They have known me for years. They will still love and respect me. This is reality. The spiritual practicality. Perspective belief. If I stay upset, I will be agitated and inefficient when I arrive. If I fill myself with peace, love, and power now, I will become efficient and effective when I arrive. My love and power are not dependent on their view of me. Somehow the break got left out. So the break is, when traffic is this bad, I will meditate until I get there, so I will arrive full of so much love and peace that I will be so efficient that the problem will be resolved like this. Okay? So, when the situation happens again, use your break and your reframing to stop the negative thoughts. Does that make sense? Okay. Does somebody have a situation that they would like to do this with? Someone? Volunteer? Anybody have a situation they want to expose us all to? Okay. So come sit. Would one of the brothers please get her a chair? Oh, thank you very much. Thank you. Okay, good. Okay. Okay, great. Okay. Uh-huh. Yeah. That's great. Hi, what's your name? Hi, Patrice. I'm Diane. So, event. Thank you, Trish.
It's not too serious. Okay. I went to the consultant last week and he gently made a suggestion that losing weight would decrease my pulmonary problem.
Okay, so that's the event. Okay,
it's
great.
Simple.
Okay, good. So your automatic negative thoughts?
I feel really uncomfortable. I'm overweight. I don't look good. So I feel I can't lose weight because I can't exercise as much as I used to, and I'm eating junk, and Brahmin light makes you a slug, and
that was a really good negative thought.
and I'm eating improperly, not getting activity, and I just really feel uncomfortable about myself.
Okay. So those are really good automatic negative thoughts. Mm. Okay, so emotion.
I think the first thing I felt was I feel inertia, actually.
Okay.
Yeah. Inertia. It's like
being stuck.
Yeah. I used to be really, really fit, and I have this pulmonary problem, and I can't exercise like I used to. So I've only tried once in the last 7 years to lose weight, and I did lose weight, but being vegetarian is really not easy for me because I'm making excuses. Anyway, because I get tired and then I fill up with stuff that is not good for me, but I'm trying to get energy. So I feel really actually frustrated about it.
So a little frustrated, a little discouraged.
Yeah.
Okay.
And I just can't get past this block where I know I absolutely need to do it because my health is, you know.
Being affected.
Yeah.
Okay, great. Okay, wonderful. So the automatic negative thoughts are not empowering you.
Mm.
And it's just, and the situation is really frustrating.
Mm.
Okay, so let's reframe it. So reality, you started with reality very well just now. So reality is, I need to do this because my health will be better.
Yeah.
And I am being affected.
I am being affected by my weight.
Okay.
And, yeah.
So what's some practical spirituality that you can use?
It's gone. I was going to look for the cheat. Practical spirituality. To reframe this.
Yes.
Okay. First of all, I would say I'm a very beautiful soul.
Great.
And yes, my body is heavier at the moment, but I'm spiritually more powerful. And I feel that using the disciplines of Raj Yoga that I can create a balance for myself, create a plan, and that using the principles that I can make a decision. So create more positive thoughts and around food and around activity to create balance in my life, because really at the root of it is lack of balance, because I work full time and, you know, that treadmill, trying to do service, working full time, not getting enough sleep, and then all the, I have a lot of body karma, so every time I, you know, get on my feet, something else happens. And so I just don't seem to get ahead.
Okay, great.
I went into the problem and not reframing it. Sorry. But, you know, I try and then it just sort of...
Okay. So, to continue with the reframing...
Yeah, sorry.
I'm going to take care of me. Baba wants me to
You coming to London? No, I'm joking.
Yes. Baba wants me to have balance, and I want to have balance.
Mm.
Right?
I've said this to him before.
Okay, great.
Yeah.
So what the whole purpose of reframing is, somewhere in there, you want to find one sentence that's powerful enough to stop the negative thoughts and allow you to be in the consciousness or awareness that you want. Does
yeah.
that make sense?
Yeah, it would be something like what just came to me was, I choose only what's good for me and my body, you know, for
okay,
my soul
great.
And my body.
Beautiful.
I make
okay.
My choices.
Okay. So I choose what's good for me and my body.
Mm.
That's very powerful.
Mm.
Do you think that would help?
I have to be checking all the time. I just had 3 biscuits at the break. You see? Because, you know, so...
But there wasn't anything else to eat.
But I can... You know, carry fruit with me. I mean, in the real situation.
Okay.
Yeah. But
okay.
See, I'll make it
excuses. Carry.
That's the thing.
Okay. You know, it's... do you mind if I'm practical for a minute?
Yeah.
Okay.
No, I mean, no. That's okay.
You know, losing weight is something that sort of you have to decide to do. Did you ever notice that?
Yeah, no. I have had situations before where I've had to stop something.
Uh-huh.
And it's just a matter of making a decision.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, there is a mineral. It's called chromium picolinate, and it helps you metabolize sugar and stops food cravings. So that's very useful if you're trying to lose weight. And, you're very pretty. But really, no, I'm doing this for balance for Baba and me. That, let's say that you believe that the kalpa will last another 16 years, okay? So I want to be radiantly healthy. And if I am willing to reduce my caloric intake by 300 calories a day, that within a year I will be 15 pounds lighter.
Because I want to look like a deity, you know.
Okay.
Maybe that sounds body conscious, but, you know, when you see deities are quite balanced, they're not.
Yeah. Well, the thing is, if you feel overweight, you feel you're much more body conscious than if you feel that you look okay.
Yeah.
I know that sounds really silly, but when I'm at the right weight, I feel that I look okay, so I don't feel body conscious. And I'm not concerned about how I look, and I hardly pay any attention to how I look. But if I'm overweight, I'm very body conscious about it.
But
did you ever notice that?
Yeah, but the funny thing is now is that I don't look at myself so much anymore.
Okay.
Which makes, you know, before I used to. I mean, it's, I don't know. Anyway, but now with meditation, I don't look at the body so much.
Great.
And I don't look at myself so much.
Great.
So in one sense, I'm more accepting of myself.
Good.
Do you know, deeply.
Yes.
I'm more accepting. But on a physical level, I know that that's not.
Okay. So
I want to feel physically better.
Okay, so we need to choose a break. A break could be deities have balance and I'm becoming a deity now. Would that be a break?
Deities are beautiful on the inside and the outside.
Okay, great.
Yeah?
Deities are beautiful on the inside and the outside and I'm becoming one now.
Yeah. Okay.
Does that work? You have to pick something that works for you. But you came up with that, so I think that's very good.
Yeah, but then there's that body consciousness about it, you know. What's beauty on the outside? But I don't know.
Okay.
It's a real dilemma for me, actually.
Okay, so deities are beautiful, are balanced.
Yeah.
And healthy.
Healthy.
Because you can't lose weight for beauty if you're a Brahmin. It doesn't work.
No, it's health, really.
Yeah.
My health
so
would be
deities are balanced and healthy, and I'm becoming a deity by being balanced and healthy now. Would that work?
Close.
Okay, make it perfect.
I can't make it perfect. I have to think about it.
Okay, you think about it. Okay, good job. Okay, wonderful. Very good job. Thank you for having the courage to come up. Okay, is everybody willing to try this? Okay, let's see where else we are. Okay. So, I'm going to give you a really silly one. Event. Playing cards with someone. Automatic negative thoughts. God, I've been losing for an hour and a half. This is getting frustrating. I'm getting rather irritated. I don't like to be losing all the time. Emotion. Grumpy. Attachment. False belief. False image. Ego. I am only okay when I am okay when I'm winning. Picture. I am okay when I'm winning. Happy. Reframing. Change the image. I am okay when I'm losing cards. What's important is my state of consciousness. I am really winning when I stay loving. That's the important consciousness. I am winning when I'm staying loving. The cards, winning or losing, doesn't matter at all. These are very simple examples. Does this make sense? The break? I am winning because I'm staying loving. I am winning when I am loving. That's my break. Okay, everybody got it? Okay, I want you to take out your worksheet. I want you to write down a situation you get upset about. List your automatic negative thoughts, your emotion, your ego, or your attachment, or your false image, and then reframe it. If you have questions, raise your hand. Trish will come over. And there's other people in the audience that can help you as well. We have some of our mental health professionals here today. So Leela can help you, or Elaine, or John. Anybody else here? Or Wendy? Okay, great. So just raise your hand if you need help with reframing or looking at the image. Oh, good. There's a script. Yeah, you have the script. There is a script.
Where the script and the slides, they can access them from the Global Functioning.
They can access them from the Global Functioning portal. Yeah. Okay, you go ahead and fill out that form, and we'll circle around and help you with your reframing, okay? Your reframing, it often requires a deep belief, okay? You have to find a powerful break so that when the situation occurs again, you can substitute it. And you can actually practice that in meditation. That's what makes it effective. Oh, I forgot to give you my very favorite example. Can I give you one more example? Okay, event. Somebody calls me a name. Somebody calls me a name. You're a... you're ugly. Oh, dear. you're mean. You're mean. Automatic thought. How dare she call me a name? After all I've done for her, what a snitty little person she is. Why, of all the nerve. Emotion, anger. Under the emotion, hurt. Okay, attachment. Attachment to this person. This person is supposed to love me. Why is she calling me a name? Reframing. Reality. Reality. Am I mean? She's calling me a name. Okay, reality. She's calling me a name. So, hurt people give hurt. So she must not be okay if she's calling me a name. Because she's never called me a name before. Practical spirituality. Same thing. Question. Who am I? Am I mean? No, I am not mean. Who am I? I'm a benevolent soul. Powerful break. For the reframing, she calls me a name. I think to myself, she must be in a terrible state because she doesn't ever do this. So something's happening with her. But I know I am not that name. I know I'm a benevolent soul. So that's my break. And if she ever calls me a name again, I think I am a benevolent soul, and she's hurting right now. And then I don't have to do any of the automatic negative thoughts. Okay? This actually works. And then you have to be very careful you stay okay inside and not have any negative thoughts. And when you don't react, they will always apologize within 15 minutes. It's true. It works. But you have to keep your mind completely stable and benevolent. Okay? So this is an example of something that actually works. Okay, now fill out your form. If you have any questions, raise your hand, and Trish and I will come. And if there's more than two of you, then John and Elaine and Leela and Wendy will come. Okay, bye. Sweet souls. That's right. That's right. We just had an aha. Sweet souls. How many of you felt that you were able to reframe the event? Fabulous. Okay. Those of you, I'm feeling a pull, and the pull I'm feeling is that it's lunchtime. And this is a very long day, but you have two sheets in your handout for this. And so if you want to continue to work on this, give another example, and then we will review it tomorrow. Okay, and answer all your questions. I'm very sorry we've sort of run out of time today, but you all have such wonderful examples and questions that I felt it was important to respond to them. So is everyone okay? Okay. Just a couple of things. Just one comment that I shared with a soul is it's never about the event. All of Gyan is only because Baba wants us to never take sorrow and to learn to have all virtues. So it's never about the event, it's only about transformation. Isn't that terrible news? But it's so lovely because the result is we learn how not to take sorrow and how to be light and how to be happy and how to be content. That is our goal. Okay, so let's meditate for 2 minutes and then we'll go to lunch. So let your body relax. Breathe in light. Be comfortable. You are a soul that is light. You are a soul that is love. You are a soul that's loved by God. You are a soul with the most beautiful inner child. Let yourself link to Baba and absorb his love. And congratulate yourself for having the courage to listen to your inner child. For as we're kind and sensitive and loving to the inner self, to the inner child, the inner child will grow and help us. And we will learn how to heal old pain with Baba's love so that we can always be in that light, be in that love, be in that peace. When I am gentle with myself, I heal. When I am gentle and compassionate with myself and loving, I'll be able to help others in a new way. In a way that allows us all to be free. I take in Baba's love. I allow any heaviness to drain away. I allow that seep in to the body. If the chest is heavy or the throat or the tummy, they allow that love to come inside and lighten those areas of heaviness. And Baba surrounding me, the soul, with love, and my whole body with love. As I breathe in, the light of love fills every cell. The body's becoming lighter and lighter. Beautiful than the next, which means each one of us is beautiful.